Welcome to episode 990 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
This week, we have been exploring the epistle from the Apostle Paul to a Gentile convert named Titus. Today, let's take some questions from our audience.
What does it mean that all Cretans are liars?
Crete is a Mediterranean island where Paul had preached the gospel, leading to many conversions to Christianity. In his letter to Titus, Paul explained that he left Titus in Crete to straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town. Since new churches were being established, Paul prioritized appointing godly leaders to oversee them. Starting in Titus 1:6, Paul outlines the qualifications for elders, including the ability to encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. He notes that Crete had many rebellious and deceitful people who needed to be silenced because they spread false teachings for financial gain. Paul then cites a well-known Cretan, Epimenides of Gnossus, a poet and prophet from the 7th century BC, who described his own people as always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. Other ancient writers agreed with this negative portrayal, such as the Roman poet Ovid, who called Crete lying Crete. The Greeks even used the term kretais to mean lying, suggesting that deceit was a pervasive and defining trait among the Cretans. Lying is fundamentally opposed to a relationship with the God of truth, which is why Paul instructs Titus to rebuke the Cretans sharply, so that they will be sound in the faith. No one who lives a life characterized by deceit can truly be rooted in the Christian faith or follow Jesus, who is the truth. Believers worship a God who cannot lie, and the Christian faith rests on the promises of a God who always fulfills his word. God hates lying, warns that liars will not go unpunished, and states that their ultimate fate is the lake of fire. Therefore, Paul urges Titus to correct the Cretans firmly to save them from spiritual destruction. Thank you for your question. Okay, who's next?
What does it mean that to the pure all things are pure?
In Titus 1 verse 15, Paul is addressing the issue of false teachers who were promoting legalistic purity laws. He contrasts their external rule-based approach with true inward purity that comes from faith in Christ. To the pure, all things are pure means that for those whose hearts are cleansed by faith and who are focused on pleasing God, they are not defiled by what they eat or drink or by following certain rituals. True purity is an inward condition that reflects a sincere relationship with God, rather than an outward adherence to human rules. Therefore, Paul is emphasizing that purity comes from within, from a transformed heart, not from external observances. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. Purity matters to God, because He is pure. Purity involves being free from anything that corrupts, taints, or pollutes, and a life characterized by purity is what distinguishes believers. When God's purity cleanses us from sin, sin no longer dictates our decisions, and we seek to live for Him. But the people about whom Paul writes in Titus emphasize their own standards of purity. Paul argues that those who prioritize their own standards above God's are actually corrupted and hypocritical, claiming to know God while their actions reveal otherwise. Paul's statement, "To the pure all things are pure," underscores that purity is not about adhering to man-made laws, but about a transformed heart. Okay, next question.
What is the significance of the instruction for believers to be zealous for good works in Titus 2 verse 14?
When Paul instructs believers to be zealous for good works, he emphasizes that a genuine faith in Christ will naturally produce a desire to do good and serve others. Good works are the fruit of a transformed life, evidence that God's grace is active within a believer. They are not the means of salvation, but are the result of being saved by grace. By being zealous for good works, believers demonstrate the love, mercy, and justice of God, and their actions can draw others to Christ. This is particularly important in contexts where the gospel message may be new or misunderstood, as it was in Crete. Next.
What does the book of Titus say about how believers should live in a non-Christian society?
Paul provides practical instructions in Titus 2 and 3 on how believers should conduct themselves in a society that does not follow Christian values. He urges older men and women, younger men, and slaves to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives, setting an example for others in their conduct. Paul also emphasizes the importance of being subject to rulers and authorities, being obedient, and showing humility and gentleness to everyone. The goal is for believers to live in a way that reflects the transforming power of the gospel and to make the teachings of Jesus attractive to outsiders by their good works and godly character. Okay, I see lots of hands now. You in the front.
Does this mean that Paul condones slavery or domestic violence or oppression?
Paul's writings, including the letter to Titus, were set in a specific historical and cultural context where slavery was a pervasive social institution, and households were organized in ways that included both slaves and free people. It is important to understand that the purpose of Paul's letters was not to endorse or condone every aspect of the prevailing social order, but to provide guidance for living out the Christian faith within that context. Paul was writing to believers who were navigating their faith in a world where slavery and hierarchical household structures were the norm. His instructions were focused on helping these believers live in a way that honored Christ, regardless of their social status. Paul did not condone slavery as an ideal or God's design. Rather, he addressed the reality of the existing social order. His emphasis was on transforming relationships within that order by applying the principles of Christian love, respect, and mutual submission. Paul's teachings in passages like Titus 2, which call for submission and respect within the household, are often misunderstood. These instructions were not intended to condone domestic violence or repression. Rather, Paul was calling for a spirit of mutual submission and love, as reflected in Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The heart of his teaching is the transformative power of the gospel to reshape relationships according to the model of Christ's sacrificial love and service. In situations where there is abuse or harm, these behaviors clearly contradict the biblical call to love, honor, and cherish one another. Therefore, Paul's teaching should never be used to justify or excuse violence or oppression, but should encourage a community where love, respect, and mutual care are the standards for all relationships. Good questions. Important questions. Who's next?
I'm not an elder or any kind of church leader. How can modern believers apply Paul's teaching about leadership in Titus to their own lives?
Modern believers can apply Paul's teachings about leadership in Titus by recognizing that leadership within the church is not limited to formal positions like elders or pastors, but includes anyone who influences others spiritually. Paul's criteria for leadership, such as being above reproach, self-controlled, and faithful, serve as a guide for every Christian to develop godly character and integrity in their daily lives. Believers are called to lead by example, whether in their families, workplaces, or communities, and to encourage others in faith, sound doctrine, and good works. This approach fosters a healthy church environment and strengthens the body of Christ in its mission to the world. Let's wrap it up there. Father, thank you for the wisdom found in your word and the guidance it provides for our lives. Help us to live out these teachings with grace, humility, and courage, reflecting your love in all that we do. May your Spirit guide us in truth, that we may be faithful witnesses for Christ in our communities.
That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest. Today.